This is an Equity Mates Media podcast.
One of the big questions is,
what is money?
For practical purposes, it exists in a series of heterogeneous databases, very different databases.
Do you believe in crypto?
Digital currency may be an answer there.
It is the highly speculative asset.
I do own Bitcoin.
There is no second best.
Welcome to the Crypto Curious Podcast, your weekly crypto crash course. Every Wednesday, join us in the dynamic world of cryptocurrency as we cover everything from major stories to short, sharp news bites. Whether you're starting out or a crypto veteran, we've got you covered. Tune in, laugh and learn. It's crypto made easy. Today on the show, we're talking about smashing records. Bitcoin has blasted through its all-time high and spot ETFs continue to break record numbers every day. We're going to talk you through the market cycles and where we are right now, as this is all happening very early this time round. All that and the short, sharp news bites to round out this week's crypto news. My name's Tracy and I'm joined by the boys as always. How are you feeling about the market this week, guys?
Wow, very exciting. I think everyone's pretty excited.
Yeah, yeah.
Trace, Craig, what are you thinking?
Feeling vindicated, feeling... Feeling like saying I told you so to everyone who told me I was an idiot for buying. Feel like going back to the last episodes where I called the bottom for a year straight and now we're back at the highs and it just feels good. But it feels good, but it also doesn't feel as crazy as it has felt in the past. But regardless, it's a good time to be alive.
So it has been an exciting week, as I mentioned. Bitcoin hitting all-time highs and ETH also touching 4K. And there's been a lot of buzz in the air, which, as Craig said, we haven't really felt for a while. Isn't that right, Craig?
Yes. And with all of this comes a lot of questions. I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, you're getting a few messages from your cousin, from your uncle, and we're getting them in our Facebook Crypto Curious group. So a big thank you to everyone that's engaging with us.
Yep, loving the group.
Yep, they're loving it.
It's great to see. But look, we've noticed that a lot of you are asking the same questions in there about this market cycle, a lot of really good questions. And we wanted to talk about those today and the broader market cycle. We wanted to use today's episode to talk about where we are sitting right now in the market cycle and what they might mean and how you can understand them better. And these will help you navigate these exciting times that can also be a little bit turbulent at the same time, Blake.
That's exactly right. And I think it's even important for those that have been in the ecosystem for a long time to still revisit the topic of market cycles, because it's something that we have to manage and deal with every day, every week, every year as we, you know, participate in this ecosystem. And, you know, even the professionals get it wrong sometimes. So opening this up and discussing, you know, the risks and the opportunities, I think, is going to be important.
So maybe let's start off talking about those typical flows, and I'll pass over to you, Craig, to start us off.
That's right, Trace. Yeah, us three are actually having some arguments around where we are at in the market cycle. I know we all have differing opinions, but if you are interested to learn more about our take on the market cycle, episode 15 is where you want to go. So open up your podcast app, scroll up. Number 15, we give a bit of an overview of what the market cycles are. Now, I just wanted to talk about where we think we are in this market cycle. And I think the answer is, this has been the most unclear that anyone's been throughout the past. And the reason for that is we generally work off market cycles from the Bitcoin halving. Now, we've spoken about this in the past where the mining rewards are cut in half, which generally sees the supply being cut in half and the demand stays the same. So the demand and supply goes out of whack, which generally we see Bitcoin goes for a run and then we see the capital rotations after that. But guys, this is the first time in history where we've actually seen an all-time high before the halving. Now, I was on Twitter, my journal, shitposting the other day talking about where I thought we were at. And I thought we were at the late 2020 part of the cycle, which was, if you remember, the halving was in middle of 2020 and then we broke all-time high in December of 2020. But it'd be good to get your thoughts, guys. Like, do you think this market cycle will be different to previous because we now have an all-time high before a halving? Like, what do you guys think?
Yeah, there's definitely different dynamics at play now that we've seen the spot Bitcoin ETF come to market and attract substantial sums of positive inflows into those products. It's the market's being pushed higher by institutional investors. There is a bit of a lag from retail investors. We see that in the Bamboo app compared to, you know, what we're seeing from institutional investors, which means that there'll be another wave of buyers coming through once more, you know, I guess social sentiment increases. But it is a fundamentally different cycle because this has never happened before.
Just what Blake just said, which was really interesting, he just said the new retail coming in. We actually have not seen that yet because the typical things that we look for, Google Trends, Coinbase App Store ranking, isn't even near the highs yet. So I think what we're seeing now, and I think...
But it is trending up.
It is trending up, but everyone's Instagrams and everyone's messages that you're getting from friends and family, they're probably people that got involved in the last cycle. So you're getting the existing market participants coming back, getting interested. Correct. But it's that new retail wave that is lagging a little bit, Blake.
Yeah, no, exactly right. And, you know, usually these market cycles are driven by different innovation waves that we've discussed earlier. You know, really what we need to push this ecosystem to new all-time highs are new kind of sub-industries or new products coming to market that attract tens of billions of dollars of new capital injection into the ecosystem to really drive the market cap of the industry higher. We've seen that, you know, previously with DeFi on Ethereum, NFTs. You know, gaming.
ICOs.
Have the ETFs, has that been a catalyst now?
Yeah, so that's certainly one. But in the last market cycle, we saw several innovations coming through attracting substantial amounts of outside capital and bring it into the ecosystem. And I think that, you know, maybe the ETFs are just one of many that might happen in this cycle. And what we're seeing is, you know, more innovation, more capital, more, you know, products coming to market, attracting, you know, more diverse capital. So, you know, what could happen this time is that, you know, we don't just see two or three tech innovations coming through attracting capital in this cycle, but maybe four, five or six, you know, with the ETFs just being one part of those, you know. We've discussed, you know, Bitcoin DeFi unlocking, you know, tens of billions or hundreds of billions of dollars of value.
And that was something that wasn't around that last wave of retail that were here.
That's right. You know, we could see gaming explode or a new use case for the technology attracting capital to the ecosystem. But, you know, being early is, I think, throwing everyone off a little bit.
Good point. Can we step back just a second and talk about the length in market cycles? We've talked about how long potentially a crypto winter can be. So you've got the bear market. Is this going to be a shortened bull market then?
Yeah, I think it really depends on how much innovation, how many new products come to market and attract capital. You know, I think whether or not it's going to be shorter compared to other ones is one question, or whether it's just going to start earlier and finish earlier and be the same amount of time is a different one.
What are your thoughts, Craig?
Well, generally, Trace, my response to that is we've seen from the 17 cycle onwards, it's been sort of a four-year cycle, 2 years bullish, 2 years of a bear market. The next halving comes around and then that sort of is seen as the quote-unquote catalyst for the next bull market. But Tracy, you're right. It feels like we've started this one a little bit early. I think last year, the ETF rumors, the ETF news was maybe pushing the market up before other cycles previous. And you could argue that maybe we had a much more of a sharper drawdown than we had in previous cycles because there was, you know, external factors at play. FTX, Three Arrows Capital, CZ, everything of that nature was blowing up in the same quarter pretty much. So, you know, I think it's important to know that this is uncharted territory because it's the first cycle where there's institutions buying Bitcoin and the inflows, which I'm sure we'll talk about on this show, has been really unprecedented.
What we do want to point out too is the way that the money flows. And what we have to look at, because we don't have a crystal ball, is history, the market cycles that we've seen in the past. And what we have seen is Bitcoin does run first and Ethereum follows and then the altcoins and then, I was going to say meme coins, but they seem to be pumping anyway, but then the NFTs. So is that still the way that we see this playing out, Blake?
Well, you know, I think that we're seeing a lot of market participants that are still here from your previous cycles are going straight down the risk curve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of holding Bitcoin to get their, you know, 3x over 12 or 24 months, you know, they're going down to buy, you know, some of the layer twos, some of the, you know, NFTs, or invest into new projects to get, you know, the uplift of maybe a 10 times the growth in capital. But this is extremely risky part of the market.
Exactly, yep.
And, you know, those that maybe have been in for one or two cycles potentially feel more comfortable participating in that, you know, subsector. But, you know, I think that these cycles are also tied to, you know, inflation rates, global liquidity. You know, there's many factors at play here that are going to contribute to, you know, the next 12 to 24 months. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think since the last cycle, there's so many returning participants coming back, and the Bitcoin coming to all-time high generally is taking all of the noise.
Mm.
But right now, Ethereum is just under all-time high, Solana just under all-time high. It feels like as Bitcoin's been the first one to move, these alts and stuff are moving as well, whereas in previous cycles we saw Bitcoin made the first run and then alts all sort of moved together.
I think what we need to understand though is we all know that even when Bitcoin does have this big run up, we do see these violent drops that come with it, you know, and we expect to see these 25 to 55% drops on the way up. They will happen. We haven't seen that. And I think historically on the way to whatever this new high will be, there will be in between 3 and 5 drops. That is a given. And when Bitcoin has those big drops, if Bitcoin does drop, say, 20, 30%, those altcoins will drop
proportionally more. Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, we have to be careful.
Be very
you know,
careful.
And that's why, you know, you should never leverage trade because so many people get wiped out. You know, I think just the other day, a few hundred million USD of longs were wiped out. You know, I think it might also be worth pointing out that, you know, historically we've seen within 90 days of Bitcoin breaking its all-time high, we've seen a 1x move or 100% growth in that period. Now, this time could be different, you know, just because historically it's happened that way, it doesn't mean it's going to happen this time. But, you know, that's what the data says. Bitcoin's ran pretty hard the last few months, so it might not be able to, you know, double again in the next period.
So we're getting a lot of questions about what's the next coin? What should we buy next? Blake, can you maybe touch on what's your humble opinion of a portfolio at this stage in the cycle, keeping in mind that everything sort of had its run a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. Now, it's certainly possible to outperform Bitcoin and Ethereum in a bull run. You know, we see it every day. These smaller market cap coins increase in value in percentage terms much faster than Bitcoin and Ethereum. But from a risk-adjusted return, it's very hard to go past Bitcoin and Ethereum. That's where all the value accrual is. Now, for example, I think that Bitcoin and Ethereum make up, you know, something like 80% of the market cap of the ecosystem. You know, and sure, you can try and outperform them, but you may lose money along the way. So from a blue chip perspective, I think that it's the safest bet. And, you know, Bitcoin and Ethereum have been around for a long time. They've stood the test of time. Smaller altcoins come and go and are much harder to navigate to build into your portfolio.
Everything comes back to the DCA strategy into Bitcoin and ETH. People will go down the risk curve. They'll get nervous after an 85% drawdown, which happens time and time again. And this is why the ETFs are only being talked about for Bitcoin and ETH. This is why Bamboo only offers Bitcoin and ETH, because it's the two that have survived multiple drawdowns and have always come back and have always grown. So
I think we have a customer that shared their portfolio with us that they use for their kids.
Yep.
And, you know, they've just been putting in $100 a fortnight for the last few years. And
almost that's 3 years, yeah.
That's just tapped, I think, $50,000. Yeah, and most of its performance.
Yeah.
I think 38,000 of it is...
38,000 out of 50 is performance.
So just a small amount just every week.
Yep, fortnightly.
You don't have to overcomplicate it.
Not even thinking.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, potentially a safer bet than trading shit coins.
There you go. You heard it first.
Tracy, you hear that?
I know. Trace? If only I had had that advice a long time ago. But there you go, folks. Look, like we said, we really wanted to lay that out for everyone. We've been getting a lot of questions in the Facebook group and a lot of broader questions from friends and family as everyone comes out of the woodwork, as they hear about the amazing trajectory of Bitcoin in the last few weeks and months. So any other questions on that, folks, and maybe do join the Facebook community as it grows and we'll get some questions going in there. We want to move on a little bit and talk in our next story around the news that did spur on that pump that Bitcoin had to hit that all-time high of just over 72,000 in the last 48 hours. It was some interesting news and the catalyst that broke this, Blake.
Yeah, so yesterday afternoon we saw, you know, Bitcoin break all-time high, and it was about 3 p.m. Western Australian time, and, you know, the U.S. was fast asleep at that point.
And we were like, what is going on?
What is going on? This must be...
Yeah, that was weird, wasn't it?
This must be coming out of Europe. And on, you know, further investigation, the UK's Financial Conduct Authority has announced it allowed the establishment of a market for crypto-backed exchange-traded notes, which are similar to ETFs, but it's technically a bond, and it will allow people to invest into the price of digital assets without, you know, actually owning the underlying. This will attract, you know, substantial amounts of capital to institutional investors in the UK. You know, more and more products are going to come to market that, you know, support the ecosystem, but, you know, I'm not really sure if they hold the underlying asset.
That was my question. I was going to ask a little bit more about this.
But regardless of that, we have more and more financial instruments for people to participate in the ecosystem. And this is what really drove prices higher yesterday afternoon.
Mm. Okay. Thoughts on that one, Craig?
I think it's obviously everyone is taking the US's lead and they're introducing new financial ways to get exposure. And it's the first time that a high has, as you mentioned, Blake, coming in a random Monday afternoon, which is always nice. Normally you wake up after the US Wall Street's been pumping it, but...
Yeah, it was good to see. Okay, look, let's take a break there. And when we come back, loads of short, sharp news bites for you all. Welcome back. You're listening to the Crypto Curious podcast. We're going to jump in to our short, sharp news bites.
Trace, I've got one for you because you're an Ethereum bull. The next big upgrade, the Denken upgrade, is scheduled in just 2 days' time on the 13th of March, which will actually be today when you're listening to this podcast. That's exciting. And the promise of the upgrade will significantly lower gas fees on layer two rollups such as Optimism, Arbitrum, and Polygon. Right now, there may be a couple of bucks for a transaction, and I think they're going to go down to cents, which is exciting.
What's it going to do to Uniswap? Someone said it's going to take about 80% off, apparently.
I heard there was a 30x reduction in, you know, the price of L2 transactions. Currently, I don't know about you guys, if I've been sending Ethereum around lately. I think it cost me $70 for a transaction. Yep.
On Ethereum layer one?
Layer one, yeah, which is crazy. And then, you know, moving to a layer two is just, you're saying that everyone's just going to have to do.
Yeah, these layer twos like Polygon, Arbitrum, they want to get, they're focusing on gaming. Arbitrum has a gaming grant going out. So these lower gas feeds are going to help them a lot.
And let's see if this all happens without a hitch too. So let's go.
The Bitcoin ETF is hitting records. The cumulative trading volume from the spot Bitcoin ETFs has surpassed $100 billion after launching less than 2 months ago, which is incredible. And it looks like it could be gaining some momentum there. Volumes have surged in the last 2 weeks, and there was one day where there was about $10 billion in volume. This is getting crazy.
So there's no slowing down for a while.
Yeah, so it could actually gain momentum because, you know, whoever's first in is going to obviously do better than those that are last in.
Yeah, and let's, like, I keep seeing memes about this. Are they going to be hodlers? I guess, you know, these are 401k as well. So they, is it?
Yeah, it could be 401ks for sure.
Managed funds, 401ks.
Like our self-managed super funds here in Australia.
All right, next up, Coachella is launching a new NFT collection after they bombed out a couple of years ago. In 2022, yes, the festival sold an NFT that earned collectors physical art prints and photo books via a partnership with FTX. This one didn't go down too well. There was a bit of drama after the FTX debacle with a lot of the NFTs showing as blank images. But they're going to give it a second go with this new release. Fans will go in to gain access to VIP areas and exclusive merchandise this year. It was a huge deal when they did it a few years ago. So good to see Coachella getting involved again.
Tell you what, guys, just thought of another top signal. Is random brands like Kit Kat, M&M, they were just random fast food brands were like tweeting on crypto Twitter and now Coachella, like the businesses that are announcing NFT collections, like they're coming back now.
That was peak NFT time. Yeah, that was peak NFT time.
Bitcoin transaction volume has been skyrocketing as the halving approaches and the miners cash in. So the volume of Bitcoin is the highest it's been in 18 months and miner revenue has grown to match it. So the Bitcoin miners are racing to purchase equipment and search for locations with low-cost electricity to run Bitcoin mining, according to a report in Bloomberg.
I think they would have done that by now, but...
Better hurry up. They've got a month. Is it next month?
It's like 5 weeks.
Dude, 5 weeks.
Next up, we have MetaMask teaming up with Revolut to make buying crypto easier. Revolut has launched Revolut Ramp, allowing users in the UK and Europe to directly purchase crypto into their MetaMask wallet. I think this is really going to enable people to participate into DeFi and NFTs and other, you know, industries in crypto much more easily.
Binance and Aussie darling CoinSpot both listed dog with hat last week. The popular meme coin WIF shot up 50% on the Binance listing and hit a new all-time high. We've touched on this meme coin phenomenon the last couple of weeks, showing it's cooled off a little bit since then, but we certainly don't think it's going anywhere, and neither do these two big exchanges after listing this one. What else is happening with dog with hat, Craig?
Dog with hat, the hat stays on, meme, cult following. Of course, the exchanges are listing this because the retail punter loves it. Now, they're trying to get a spot on the Sphere Trace, which is the Las Vegas Sphere in the middle of the city, and they need to get 650K to book it out for a week, and I think they're just under halfway.
Yeah. Whew. So there's going to be a big dog with a hat for a day on the Sphere.
And it could be the most generational top signal of all time.
Oh, my God. You know what? You spent a year and a half calling the bottom, and now you're going to spend
the next year and a half
calling the top.
Mate, you can't be wrong with that strategy.
Oh, my God. Please, folks.
Hold on. Who bought the bottom here?
I don't know. Please.
If you buy enough, you're going to catch
exactly.
it. Well, they say a blind squirrel will find a nut in a tree every now and then.
If you buy every week, you're right eventually.
What's up next, Craig?
Well, Trace, glad you asked. DeFi protocols are booming. And when I say that, I mean the total value locked has been booming. It surpassed $100 billion for the first time since May 2022. This probably has something to do with the Ethereum price going up and the amount of Ethereum that gets moved in those protocols. But it represents a significant resurgence in the DeFi sector. I think, you know, even we've spoken about Bitcoin DeFi, Ethereum DeFi, the adoption and the amount of volume that's going through it is just continues to go up. So exciting stuff, and a few new narratives since the last cycle, like real world assets where people are putting funds, properties, and just making these, you know, assets accessible in DeFi, which is very exciting.
Cool.
Next up, daily trading volumes on crypto exchanges has surged to nearly $100 billion. Now, I might be incorrect in saying that I believe last time in the bull run, we hit $1 trillion daily trading volume across the exchanges. Well, that might be derivatives as well. But anyway, we're hitting $100 billion daily traded volume, which is, you know, massive and just speaks to the liquidity in the ecosystem and that, you know, you will never have any problem selling your Bitcoin.
Okay, and our last one here, Coinbase shares are on the way back to all-time high. They have exceeded their direct listing price of $250 for the first time in over 2 years, making a significant recovery with more than 350% increase over the past 12 months. This surge reflects the overall improvement in the crypto market, particularly buoyed by the rise of prices in Bitcoin, obviously. So,
I will say with this one, Tracy, Coinbase next quarterly earnings are in May, and that will cover the ETF volumes that are coming through. So it's one to watch for sure.
Such a Coinbase bull you are. All right, there we go, folks. That is the show for this week. Hopefully you've enjoyed that and got something out of our market cycles chat. And if you are new to crypto and you are just learning and you've got others who are coming who are new to crypto, then please maybe share this episode with them and maybe head back to some of the earlier episodes where we do cover off all of the basics. let's see what happens next week. There's always something interesting happening in the crypto landscape. Let's see if we keep pushing through and see what we are sitting on.
Just the beginning, my friend.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening along. If you enjoyed the journey, again, bring a friend along to the next episode. Until next week, stay curious, stay connected. You can do this by joining the Crypto Curious Facebook group, our Instagram page. Be sure to subscribe where you're listening to the podcast. Right now, if you're looking to DCA into the crypto market, please have a look at the Bamboo app. If you do, you can use the code CURIOUS for $10 of free Bitcoin to get you started. The link is in the show notes below. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye for now.
Bye, guys.
See you, guys.
You have been listening to an EquityMates Media production. In the spirit of reconciliation, EquityMates Media acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. This podcast is intended for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general advice only and has not taken into account your personal financial circumstances, needs, or objectives. Before acting on general advice, you should consider if it is relevant to your needs and read the relevant product disclosure statement. And if you're unsure, please speak to a financial professional. The hosts of this podcast and their guests may have positions in the companies mentioned. EquityMates Media operates under an Australian Financial Services License 540697.